This feature has been brought to you by Slot Foundation, which needs your support to continue projects like these. Information on this recording and access to other recordings is available online at slot.org.
I do not intend to lecture. My idea was to sort of have a conversation, a public conversation, with you about some of the actions of these artists. You've already seen some by walking around, looking at, watching the films, looking at the photos, so you have a sense. And therefore, I encourage you to interrupt me, to ask questions, to engage, okay? I'm no expert. I'm a professor of German literature and comparative literature. I have written an article that is forthcoming in a German journal. So that's sort of my background and how I come to this art. I'm also in the process of publishing a book about the neo-avant-garde and the art of the period in Europe mostly, okay? But my experience with Viennese actionism is fairly limited, so I will not be able to answer questions fully, probably. I want to discuss with you ideas, and that's the purpose of this meeting today. Maybe I should just start? Okay. Yeah, that's sort of the rough idea. I'd like to maybe start with a few minutes about the context of this art that was produced in Vienna, mostly in the 1960s. I've already spoken a little bit about it in at the opening, so I won't dwell on it too much. I will just maybe remind us of that context. And then I would like to enter the discussion of Bruce's work more in particular. And in particular, maybe talk with you about a few actions. I will not discuss all of the actions of the film by Kasparak, because the film is an hour longer than an hour, and we won't have time to do that. I will just like focus on one or two of those actions and see also what you think. So again, please feel free to interrupt or raise your hand to say, I really want to talk about this. I really want to say something. I have completely different ideas from what you're saying. I would welcome that a lot. Okay, context. To be, very, very brief, the actionists were a loose group of artists, each one with a different philosophy, but they came together in the 1960s to produce an art that was very provocative and that also was very new within the Austrian context. For us, looking at this art from a later perspective and also from an international perspective, we may find sort of similarities maybe with other art that was taking place at the very same time. Performance art, for example. Happenings, for example. Body art, which, however, was a little later and that came to the fore especially with feminism, so in the 70s. Even the art of Jackson Pollock, for example, so action painting that happened before the Viennese actionists' actions or happenings was important and was a background for this art. And in effect, we have to keep in mind that the actionist, Bruce included, came from a painterly background. Okay, so they were trained in painting, and that informel in Europe, which was a translation of action painting in Europe, was also the art that they were working with, that they were interested in at the time, in the early 60s. It's hard to tell whether Pollock, per se, as a figure, was the figure that they had in mind. But, you know, as a critic put it, Amelia Jones, the Pollockian, this discourse around Pollock was what caught their attention, okay? So the figure of this artist, this new artist, this heroic artist that is painting itself, was what they, you know, what every artist at the time sort of had in mind, even though they might not have seen that particular art. And that was the case with the Viennese Actionists, that in Austria were isolated from the international context. Now, the background, the political background of the 60s in Austria is important because I believe, or my interpretation is, that this art is a strong provocation against the particular form of liberal democracy that was, that started after the Second World War and after Nazism had been defeated. So in the early 60s, there were the first manifestations of protests against this new radical, you know, this new politics or a politics that called itself new, but that for these artists, in fact, exhibited a lot of the traits of the same moral, petty moral, bourgeois aspects that had brought Nazism to Germany, of course, but also to Austria itself. They were attacking the these artists were attacking this sense of provincialism, if you wish, in which Vienna, even Vienna, the capital of Austria, was still sort of caught and trapped, and they are provoking precisely that. In particular, they are provoking, in my view, the repressive moment, the repressive aspect of the so-called democratic state of that period. So what they're actually doing with these actions is that they go so far that the people in the streets, the audience that they have, invoke brutal repression from the state. That therefore becomes and shows itself to be yet again a police state, okay? A state that enforces its own law against the expression of these artists. And in doing so, the actionist, Bruce in particular, with his sadomasochistic acts and with this very sort of disturbing art, basically bring to the fore the fact that the state is the very same kind of state that was in place during Nazism and even before, during the period of the Habsburg Empire. Okay, so they are paradoxically going back to a Wiener Moderne, to a period right prior to Nazism, in which the artists, for example, Egon Schiele, I don't know if you're familiar with them, were arrested, right, for some of their art that was labeled pornographic art. The same had happened with Nazism that had labeled expressionist art degenerate. And yet, and now, yet again, in a liberal democratic state, what happens after their art is that they are, right, the perverts, right, of the state. They become, they're labeled, you know, degenerate yet again. They are arrested. They are fined. Bruce, you know, after Kunst und Revolution, which is an action of 1968, is actually condemned to 6 months of arrest. And because of that, he will just, like, leave Austria temporarily and go to Germany in exile, we could really say, okay? So that's part of their task. Now, let me just start and maybe talk about some of the actions so that we have a better idea about how this happens, in what way, right, these artists engage the repressive state and engage their bourgeois audiences. Before I start, one little parenthesis. It is important to say that, especially for Bruce and Schwarzkogler, another artist who was part of the group and committed suicide in 1969, that a lot of this art started as private art, okay? By that I mean they were working with their own friends in small places. Their audiences were people who they invited. So initially, there wasn't the aspect of the scandal. It wasn't there. It was really the aspect of experimentation with new art forms, with new forms of subjects that art can create also. All right. This film will play in the background, and I will make some reference to some of these actions. I will dwell more on some and let go of others, as I said before. As you can see, this is these are like early paintings by Bruce. They could be paintings by Vedova. They could be paintings that are informed, totally informed by action painting or by Informel, okay, by Tachism, by action painting and Informel. These are like prior to 19, I would say. I'm not sure about the particular ones, but probably 50s, early 60s. Actionism starts officially in 1962. Okay, the actionist who starts a group is Mühl, is not Bruce. However, Mühl and Bruce were very close. Okay. Now, first of all, the film. The film is by Kasperak, and we have to, and it's devoted to Anna and Diana, and Anna is the wife of Bruce, and Diana is the daughter of Bruce, and Bruce, as I said, who worked in this sort of private context, used both Anna and Diana when she was a baby for some of his actions. So that's the dedication. The first shot that you saw is a body breathing, and what you see in that body that breathes, that chest that breathes, is the wound. There's a wound. Clearly, again, this could be read as a reference to Austrian Catholicism. Okay, that's important because there is a reinterpretation, if we want to call it that way, or an attack on, again, the religiousness, if you wish, of this art. And this is different from, for example, another actionist like Nietzsche that uses that in a completely different way. For Bruce, this becomes the wound. Okay, what we see, what remains for us, is a live wound. And we have to analyze this concept of the wound and what it might mean politically and aesthetically. One question we see that is being asked, for example, is how come that when we look at paintings such as, of the iconography of the saints, let's, for example, Saint Sebastian, right? We accept it, we go to museum, we see it. But if Bruce acts this out, we cannot take it, okay? We just cannot take it. The martyr of, the artist. Is the artist a martyr? Another question that can be raised after looking at the chest breathing and that wound. Now, if we move on, besides this background to which I gestured before, we see that there is a progression in the movie. It's biographical. And we see the first action that you're looking at right now, which is called Anna, and it's devoted to his wife. This is an action from 1964, and in fact, it's the first action that Bruce performed. In this action, we see that there are painterly elements that are very, very, you know, prominent. Mm? We see it also in the film. And the reason why I brought up, you know, not only the director, but the fact that this is a film is because this is a work of art in itself, okay? So what we're seeing, we have to keep in mind again, is not Bruce performing his action. It's a film of his actions, and it's a particular film. It's an artistic film. It's an artistic product, therefore an interpretation already of these actions. Mm? Now, to go back to the action itself, in that action, we notice various things, right? For example, the fact that paint is used, the fact that there is an artist and the model is his wife, Anna, and the artist who are on the same plane, okay? The artist is himself inside, right, the canvas. If we want to speak of this total environment as a canvas. To be more precise, I would say that there is an attempt, right, on the part of the artist to break, right, that canvas, to leave it behind, to go beyond the canvas. But what the artist is showing us, right, is that it's a very difficult operation, that it's very, very hard for this artist to leave that canvas and to leave painting and paint behind, to the point that he falls back into it. And that was one of the comments that Bruce received after this performance. Mühl commented that he fell back on action painting, and so that in fact he did not leave and abandon the canvas, that he just recreated it in a different environment or a different form, right? Although he managed to leave behind the bidimensionality, right, of it all, and of course the representation of this. Also, there's another reference to avant-garde art in particular. At least so I think. Maybe you disagree. In that clip that you saw of Anna, there is the presence of a bicycle. In particular, the film focuses on the wheel of the bicycle. And of course, we know that the wheel is a famous ready-made, assisted ready-made by Duchamp. And in fact, you can see a lot of Duchamp's work here in Philadelphia. But how does Bruce use that bicycle? Why is that bicycle there? Why is a wheel there? Well, certainly that wheel is taken out of context. Duchamp took out wheels of the wheel, took it out of its context, like most of his objects, right? And here, Bruce takes it out of the context in which Duchamp had put it in. So there's a double comment here, maybe, which is, well, we have to rethink the paradigms of the avant-garde altogether in the 1960s. We have to try to even move beyond the accomplishment that the preceding avant-garde had, you know, reached and made. At the same time, there's a reference to that avant-garde, even to the collage, right, of previous times, the cubist collages that it used materials, everyday materials for their work, and the bicycle is an everyday, you know, object or tool. There's a referencing of Dada clearly here that also returns in several quotations, in one in particular by Bruce, in which he explains his own work with references to childhood and therefore with references also to Freud. Let's not forget that psychoanalysis was born in Austria. These artists were all very familiar with it in very different ways, including possibly the ways in which political philosophers such as Marcuse reinterpreted Freud and attacked Freud for certain things. So the data quote that I was referring to a minute ago that uses Freud and goes back to childhood is this quote where he basically says that painting as smearing comes from excrement, later known as spinach. Abstract shit perfumes as a spread of brains. Okay, that's something that popped up there in German. And of course, there is this sort of like anal reference and to, you know, to the anal stage of childhood that is a reference for painting, right? So we go back to the primitive moment of painting to try to get out of it and use these materials, these raw materials. One of the raw materials that Bruce uses is mud, for example. And of course, mud mixed with paint, so the white mud that he smears on himself. Okay, so that's one reference to that. Now, the next, maybe the next things that needs to be said is that Bruce moves away gradually from this interest in painting and tries to leave behind painting. So at the very beginning of this film, there is another quote in which he stresses the role and the importance of the body. Okay, the film itself is called Body Analysis, which is a term that comes from Bruce. Bruce is interested in performing body analysis in his heart, in his art. This body analysis stress more and more the social aspects of repression of the body. And this is something that also the other actionists are very, very interested in. So to move, to look at art as a means, as a tool to actually investigate, experiment, almost surgically, almost as if art were a science, the abilities, capabilities, limits of the body against the body as we know it from its socialization or the processes of socialization that we're familiar with, you know, as we, you know, grow up, go to school, so the disciplinary instances of socialization of the body, okay? So, for example, Bruce, and this becomes more and more evident as he proceeds in his experiments, Bruce attempts to use art as against and as another science. So he says, why is it? He asks in one of his statements, you know, he writes, why is it that if a doctor experiments on a body, or if a doctor writes about hysteria, there is value to what, you know, this doctor writes, and if I experiment with a hysterical body, with myself, with my wounds, I am labeled a pervert, okay? What's the difference? What makes it different? Why is it that we value that as science and we do not value this as art or as science, okay? So that's, again, a moment in this art that is a provocative moment against the structure of knowledge, if you wish, okay? Knowledge as we perceive it. The knowledge that tells us what art is and tells us what science is, and, you know, science is valuable and art is not valuable if it becomes, if it performs the same kind of experiments. So that's very important to keep in mind. This is still one of the actions that in 1965 that, and maybe one of the first actions that provoked the state in a scandal. It's called Vienna Walk. For this action, And you see what it entails, right? Bruce painted himself, used mud, covered himself in white mud, and painted himself with this iconic black line that then returns, that cuts his body in half. And then he walks straight through the monumental center of Vienna to go to his gallery where some of his works, like here, is exhibited, precisely like here. It is a protest. It's a very simple protest. Today we just think, well, what's in it, right? Almost nothing. Well, at the time, as you can see, he elicited the attention of many passers-by who were really upset. A policeman stopped him. He was taken to the police station, and he was fined for having offended public peace and morality. Okay, he protested also against the same gallery that had staged his work, because at the time the gallery basically put out a statement saying that this art was receiving more attention than it deserved. Okay, so try to sort of like dissociate itself from the work of the artist, and of course did not want him to perform actions, and so that's why he went to his own opening in this way, or he did not go because he was arrested, basically. But what's important in that action, the Vienna walk, is that it marks a transition, we could say, an early transition between the interest of Bruce in painting and leaving behind the canvas and abandoning the paradigms of modernism and neo-avant-garde, and his interest in the body, in performing in front of an audience, in creating, you know, scandals. And it's evident because Bruce paints himself, and this is a typical moment of his art. He has this exhibition was then painting, self-painting, and self-mutilation. It's a moment in which we see already the public offense gesture, even in the painting itself, because the line that cuts this white body that walks, right? It's like a live ghost, like an uncanny body, half alive and half dead, like the statues, the monuments of that monumental center that he crosses as he walks, right? It's sort of like a walk between on the line between life and death, right? So the life that the artist can give with his art to his figures, and the death that it also gives. Think of Dorian Gray, right? The figure of Dorian Gray. So this difficult moment is present in this line that cuts him in half, and that also, therefore, is an offense toward those monuments that are immobile and that are monuments of history that are there, that he sort of like brings down and makes walk, like with his own sort of gesture and walk through the city. It's an attack on that history and on preserving it as monumentalized, a history that the Austrian government denied, the history of the participation in Nazism, for example, of Austria. Okay, so there are all these elements that come together, and that's why I'm saying Vienna Walk is a crucial moment, I believe, in his actionism. This is a moment that you see here where the wound that I mentioned at the beginning returns, and it's the sort of last stage, we could say, of that process that moves from painting, self-painting, right, that the painting of the line, the painting of this artist that tries to obliterate himself in in his own work and obliterate art, right, while doing so, and the self-mutilation aspect. For Bruce, art to be born again, to be born in a different way, entails self-mutilation, entails that obliteration of the painter. So he literally talks about, this is a quote, he says, birth from obliteration. And that's why in his self-painting, he works also with his head a lot. He paints it black, he tries to get rid of it. Or he merges, right, in this clinical, surgical sort of white. Everything is white. It's like in a hospital, okay? There's this sense of like, and if you see, there are all these tools. The reference, again, could be made, and it becomes even clearer later in other performances, where he shaves his head, where he sort of performs surgery on his legs, where he masturbates, or he goes into hysterical, sort of fits. But the reference is also to that white, we could say, fakely innocent, of course, science that produced, for example, the Nazi medical experiments. Okay, so we are again in an environment where we don't know. Is this for the sakes of whom? Okay, who is performing what? So there's a strong reference to the violence of both the scientific world, the medical world, and the world of art. The world of art is as violent as, the world of science that can produce the atomic bomb, the same way that it can produce a cure for a virus. The violence of art could be seen in the particular use of certain tools, for example, besides, of course, the paint and the materials that are used. But some of the tools are the tools of doctors and are the tools of craftsmen, okay? And that's indicative of also this merging of the two. And in this case, you see the torturous body, right? So the vulnerability of this body that Bruce more and more tends to expose and exhibit. Okay, the body of the artist is not the body of a hero. It's not the body of the Christian martyr. Is the body is a vulnerable body. It's a body that is wounded. Okay, it's a body that exhibits its wounds, and that wants you to see them, wants you to touch them almost, right? To be there without aestheticizing the wound, without aestheticizing, through again a certain tradition of painting, that suffering. And the question about suffering for whom is important, because if you think of the Christian martyrs and that iconography, there is a biblical, there is a reference to that. There's a redemption, a catharsis. Here it's very hard to see where the catharsis, happens. And that is part of that context of the post-war. The same question could be asked about, the atomic bomb, or about the Holocaust, okay? So these are some of the issues that he certainly brings up. And here, just to mention briefly, in these drawings, Bruce has turned lately also to, has returned maybe to some of his drawings that before were less important, but that certainly show how carefully he studied each of his performances, okay? Each of his tests and analysis, as he calls them. In those drawings, you can see and retrace the trait of the expressionistic drawings of a Kokoschka or of a Schiele that remain in the background of these artists, I would say, complex references to art history too, right? Sorry. I was talking about the vulnerability, and I was talking about the exhibition of that. There is an important thing to say about that, I think. And that is that there is also a subtle, I don't want to say attack, but a subtle element of criticism of gender roles, okay? There is an action that he performs which is called transvestitism. He uses in many actions these, he shows this vulnerable body that he attacks, and he does so sometimes in nylon stockings, sometimes wearing a bra, shaved head. So the reference to the Nazi camps is certainly one, but also the reference to a woman's body that, of course, was perceived as sort of like almost a moment of pornography. The accusation of being pornographers was mostly for Mühl, whose actions were much more erotic than Bruce. But there is this element that basically is shared by all of the actionists. And so there is this moment of perversion of the male virility, right? So if you think of Pollock and the heroism of the figure of Pollock, it's this sort of like strong artist that moves his body, and there is sort of like this virile instance that, you know, is propped up. Even in Namut's film. And here you see this body that is thin, that is like wearing these nylon stockings, that, you know, is engaged in hysterical acts also of masturbation. And it's like he becomes the patient of Charcot at the clinic. He becomes sort of like the body on which the artist experiment, the model, but the doctor experiments also, okay? And in that, there is a subversion of the typical gender roles that we are familiar with also within the arts. Mm? So a lot of things come together. And what is prominent is this moment of subversion of typical images of the artists. Okay. The big event that all action is put together, and that in which also another group of writers participated, a group of writers who were neo-avant-garde writers, who were experimental writers and worked in Vienna at the same time, was Kunst und Revolution, Art and Revolution, from 1968. And there were moments, and you see here the negatives. It's the film shows this action, which is a collective action, through negative shots, through shots that are in negative form, okay? And that would be interesting to discuss. I was trying to think of why we see this action, this particular action, sometimes upside down and sometimes, you know, through its negative, right? But this was the action that produced that arrest or that sentence of arrest for 6 months of Bruce. In that action, okay, that action was organized in 1968 at a crucial moment at the university in Vienna. One could say that, of course, in Vienna, the student movement from 1968 had a very little impact, if at all. and that this was one way to sort of provoke again the lack of passion, political interest at the university. It was also an attack on the university itself as an institution. As we said, the actionists were very keen on attacking the institution and the power, the violence of this institution, including the university. And it was an attack, an ironic attack on the students, the very bourgeois students at the university at the time. Even if they were, these artists, the actionists and the Vienna group, were invited by the socialist group of students. The group that invited them was not really aware of what was going to happen on that day. The action started, in fact, with a talk on the function of art in our day. And it was a very serious talk, okay, by a student member of the Socialist Party, after which the actionists took the stage. And it was, each one of them had played a different role at the same time. So the classroom turned into this sort of like simultaneous stage or stage for simultaneous actions, a little bit like the Dada had done before. And there, Bruce continued to perform what he had performed already before. But on top of that, he also, while he was masturbating, he was, of course, publicly, he was, shitting, he was pissing, he was doing all of this, he was also singing the national anthem. Okay? At the same time, Otto Mühl, his friend, was beating fiercely a masochist, who, of course, had given his consent. Right? He was a masochist, so he was like beating him fiercely. The same time, Wiener, one of the members of the Vienna group, was sort of like going on a talk, on a long talk that was sort of incomprehensible about poetry and the role of art. Another member of the group, I forget the name. Weibel, who is a very important, actually, artist himself, a performance artist, friend of Valley Expert, who worked with Valley Expert, and a very important critic of Viennese actionism, put out the first book on them in 1970, was also lecturing, and you probably saw him with a. With some experimenting, like a chemistry professor experimenting and sort of with a glove that catches on fire. So all of this happens at the same time. Well, some students seem, in the films that I have seen here, the audience is not really part of this film, seem to be fairly amused by it, not particularly disturbed. And this is something to keep in mind, because this seems to happen a lot of the time with the audience of these actions. They're not too disturbed. The people who are disturbed are those who do not see it but hear about it, hear about these actions. They write letters, and there we go back to the provocation that these artists make, against this state and this sort of moral bourgeois morals, is that some of these people even wrote letters to Bruce, to Mühl, and said horrible, terrible things, such as, if torture were allowed here, you would be the one, right, who would be the most, the best victim on which to basically inflict torture. Or you should be arrested, and they were, put in jail in isolation, but they should still give you a cord that you could smear in, with your own shit before you hang yourself. These were letters that they received, and then they publish them. It's the same way, right? The same way that they published the articles in the papers, the sentences that of the court, and the proceedings of some of the trial, for instance, that happened after that action that I was just talking about. They considered it the conclusion of the action. Okay, so this is certainly part of this strong attempt at showing, okay, you liberal democratic state, you tell me, you know, that you're acting differently from the repressive states that we have already known in our history. You're not. You're acting the very same way. Okay. Well, maybe I should just stop here. Of course, there the longest action, then the action that you see here as you walk around, is Zerreißprobe, which is has been translated as Breaking Test, 1970. This is an important action, and it's the one where Bruce here you see Kunst und Revolution, where Bruce literally mutilates himself. Okay, here we have that. I'll pause for a moment. You can look at this, just like look at the pictures. After this, and see excesses at the university, we showed that the claim of the action is right. We showed what direct art is. Direct art is part of their philosophical statement. So they, at different stages, they talked about different, and these are the insults, basically. But they talked about different stages of their own art. So we start with actions, and we go, you know, Mu talks about material actions because of the kind of materials that he actually uses. Direct art, they instituted the Direct Art Institute at some point. And so direct art, that's the reference, right? We showed direct art, and you could say, like, a little bit in that sense, like the happenings, right? There's no distinction between art and life. And so we take a moment of life and we just like put it there. Now, I like this moment in the film because it sort of shows precisely what I was trying, you know, to say before, the bourgeois everyday life of the spießig. There's a word in German that is, you know, an adjective that is spießig, which is like this petty bourgeois way of living your life, washing your car on Sunday, you know, sort of like caring about the flowers on the table. And so here they're showing that element of the everyday man, you know, doing these actions that, however, could be seen as pretty violent, right? And so there's that And here you see the audience. This is, again, I believe it's already Zerreis Probe. I'm not sure. This is an instance where you can see what I was talking about, where he is in this fit, hysteric fit, and he is dressed like in transvestite clothes. Okay, he's this androgynous. It's also, when he talks about self-experiments, it's also an attempt at trying to reconfigure notions of marginality, of difference, of the madman, right? I mean, again, as I said, remember, Freud was, you know, still very prominent, and here it's like, well, what if we experiment and try to work on this and see that there are other things to madness, right? To this, why isn't that art? But in a different way from experiments that had been already made in art with us, you know, Art Brut in the 40s was very important, but it was also used again in terms of like the artistic aesthetic aspects of the paintings of the people interned in asylums, for example, right? So there was, okay, what's aesthetic about the paintings of the insane? And here it's quite, it's a very different kind of experiment. It's like, what is insane about certain fits of a person just like me, right? If I am under stress and it's a very difficult thing that I'm trying to do, try to find all the different personalities, all the different identities that are in me, right? I may be insane, but what's the difference between me and an insane person? And what does that mean for art itself, for the creation of the work itself, right? And so that's the limit, one of the difficult boundaries that Bruce also explores. Now, on the extreme moments of his art, where, like here, he urinates, he drinks his own urine, he vomits, right? Because it's very hard for him to do. He does this in public. Well, what can one say? Why is he doing all of this? I frame it within that issue of perversion. And there is a scholar whose name is Kaja Silverman who wrote about male perversion in particular. And she sort of like elaborates on the question of the masochistic aspects of, on masochism in men. As a moment of male perversion that is anti-authoritative, right? So the revolt of the son against the state, the father state, against the Oedipal sort of development of human beings today. And so within the context of Austria, within the context of this art, one could actually say, and considering that he's dressed as he's dressed, one could really make the claim, I believe, that this is a subversion, right? A fight, a struggle against that desire to make us all go through Oedipus, right? And all turn out the same, okay? And show that there is another struggle going on at the same time. Yeah, and so for Serrais, probably I was, yeah. And actually, one thing that should be said is that he was not staging this, right? It's not that he's like acting it out. Serrais Probe, which is the last, I mentioned before, is the very last performance in 1970 that concludes his actionism. After that, he stopped, okay? Bruce stopped. Said, after this, I can't go on. Basically, the only other thing that would be there for me would be suicide. Would be, you know, like, so he stopped actionism. And Serrais Probe, which means breaking test, uses this all these various elements, and it's very, very studied. It's a surgical experiment on pain, on the limits of pain, on suffering, on going beyond, you know, oneself. And this is the video that, you know, it's shown here repeatedly. And I was saying, there is no acting in this sense here. It's not that he's staging and he's faking it. Right? He's actually in the throngs of pain. So remember what I said before. He didn't stage it for others. Right? At times when the audience would do something and in one moment he says, I don't remember what action, says, oh, there were two journalists fighting to take pictures. It really disturbed my concentration. I just could not concentrate anymore on what I was doing. And those drawings that I was mentioning before, they were drawings of studies of what he wanted to do, right? To put himself in these tough, tough situations, right? And that is the part that is, to a certain extent, is difficult to contextualize within the provocation aspect, right? Because it was really an internal quest for a non-traditional identity, exactly as a non-traditional personality. Well, this, we could go on forever. I think we should stop. And I welcome any comment, any idea, any objection, any thought. It would be very, very nice if you could, you know, say a few words. Yeah.
The thing that I'm astounded by is the fact that this was a record over 40 years ago. The absolute improbability of any manifestation of this kind now, probably in the last 10 years, is really striking. And when the digital war in Iraq, there's been all sorts of things around the world that are breaking. Right. Mm-hmm. About artists, and actually manifest an expression of these horrors in the way that this one was. And at least to the question, I know Vienna well, and I'm sure Vienna in 1960 was even more brutal and stubborn than it is now. but it's astonishing that this group would be so provoked that they would go to this extreme to make the point. And I'm wondering what you think the relationship is between someone who, you know, might have been 10 or 12 years old in 1948 and known something about the horrors of the war, and then in this long Viennese denial about whether they were victims or not, and, you know, right. In the 70s before they got the public. Do you think there was any direct relationship between their understanding of what went on
in
the Holocaust and this particular expression of their opposition?
Yeah. Of course.
But the extreme sort of focus, kind of sadomistic, artistic focus about pain, really connected with what happened in Central Europe in the previous 10 years. Yeah. Was it a strong relationship, or was it more intuitive?
Well, I think it's both in this sense. There are different things. First, I would say you're right about saying the happenings, you know, what was happening, for example, in the United States was much more benign. And in fact, I like more maybe the comparison with the Gutai group in Japan, right, because of the atomic bomb and that.
Right.
Right. It was more right. So there are elements of both because clearly there is the artistic moment. The fact that there are precise references to what had happened, even if they were young at the time, come up very, very clearly in Moon's work. And Moon was, you know, like, started actionism because of Bruce. Because Moon was in the war, right? He's older, and he was actually in the war. And he makes specific references to the war in his own autobiography, for example. And he basically uses the aestheticize, you know, he starts with this aestheticizing picture of the battlefields, and then sort of in his own actions he breaks them apart, he dismantles them, right? There are, when the actionists took part, for example, in 1966 in the Destruction in Art Symposium organized by Gustav Metzger in London, they were invited. And it was their first international appearance, 1966. The people commented, you know, like right there and then Metzger was, you know, reported this. Oh, my God, it's the experience of the camps all over again, right? So in London, it was immediately perceived. Another element of this, and this brings me back to what you were saying about the contemporary, you know, the possible potential, the potential of this art being, you know, a contemporaneous art today, or I mean, speaking to some of the things that we are witnessing every day, is that they were, especially Mühl and Bruce, again, they staged also actions, material actions, or actually they were already called total actions, against the Vietnam War. And they used the same means, right? One action was performed in Germany and, you know, Vietnam Party. And there's a quote from, you know, that one could make of Marcuse, you know, saying in 1969, a little later, but saying, what's obscene today is the generals wearing medals, not, you know, a picture of a woman's crotch. And what they do, basically, that particular in that action is precisely that: is show this pornography of the violence of war. So it's a in that case, it was a war that was contemporary. It was not a reference back, but right. And there's yet another action, and I'll quit, which is called Training of the Army that Mühl has. And in that action, they do these sort of silly things, puppet things, you know, but it's the army. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
have the imagery.
Right. There is also, you know, the Jewish Museum in Paris, for example, decided it's the opposite of the Holocaust Museum in Washington, D.C., where it, within the history of, you know, Jewish culture, the room devoted to the period of the Holocaust is a room without access, with, you know, like an empty room, glassed. You cannot access it in any way, and there's basically nothing in it other than, you know, a plaque. That's it, right? So that's another way of doing a similar, you know, thing, sort of like it's the ineffability, the impossibility to speak about this. There is an element of that here too, which is the lack of words, right? The fact that this is a performance that is extreme, hard to watch. You won't see it all at times. So you will not, be able to physically almost. And so you're, basically repulsed.
It's almost important to know where you're covering up all of the actions anyways, because you have throwing in everyone's philosophizing these things,
yeah.
Repression. I mean, there's so much talk about
right.
Repression. And like what you said at the beginning, he's simply acting out exactly what they're all talking about.
Yeah.
So it's such a subversion
of right.
What's being discussed.
I agree. Yeah. I would just say that here the body becomes the major protagonist and the vehicle for, you know, for just about everything. And there is a, in that sense, there is a connection maybe with the Vienna group. They try to collaborate. They had some collaborations. This was a group of poets that worked at about the same time. And again, they were just sort of trying to struggle with the limitations of language in general, right? So, but they had to do it through language. And coming from the art background, the actionists, I would say, Nietzsche included, had to work with the limitations of their own means of expression, their medium, so of art. And so they engage in particular that. They are less interested in words. However, every single action is documented. And they had magazines, right? The Chastrom is one, Le Marais is another one. So in that sense, I say they worked also with the Vienna group because they used that other form of expression, poetry, Dada insults, recipes. If you think of Schwarzkogler, an artist who needs to be explored more, but he had, like, his last work was recipes, okay? And he staged this. Again, he had these white tables where he was cutting fish and his penis at the same time. Not really, right? There are myths about that. But, you know, he died. He committed suicide. People said that he committed suicide during an action cutting his penis. This was published in Time magazine, right? So Howard Hughes basically spread the myth. But there are certainly these there is a need for the word in a different context, not during the action, I would say, right? There is a they had recourse to words, and they created a separate. In a sense, they were in multimedia, right? When we think of total works of art, they were not really that, especially Bruce, I would say. Mühl maybe a little more, but Bruce no.
I wanted to go back to an earlier comment in terms of contemporary artists, you know, not working at this extreme. And I think one of the things that's really important about the actionists is how they pave the way for future generations of artists. And so by going to the extreme, it was like giving permission
Yeah. In fact, I mean, one thing that I didn't conclude with, but I sort of mentioned in this article is abject art, right? So in the 1990s, the strong emergence of abject art, especially in America, but not only, and also art, masochistic art, right? That already was taking place in the 70s, right? And most recently, Chris Bird and all people like that. And is certainly, I mean, I think you're right. I think it wouldn't have happened probably, right, without this legacy. But I think that there are also distinctions maybe that need to be made. On the one hand, it is true that these artists are really not famous. They're not... They did not really make it into the, you know, so this is why this exhibition is particularly important, I think. It's one of the very, very few. It's true, they were also exhibited in the last room of an exhibition at the Louvre, right? But, you know, but it was a small room, part of a bigger exhibition, so they didn't have too much, they haven't received so much attention as yet. So even their impact, is still, you know, it would be interesting to really find out if there are specific references to this particular art in more contemporary forms of abject art. The second thing to be said is maybe that I believe that abject art works, yes, on psychoanalytic approaches to the individual, focusing very much on childhood, the anal stages, and sort of all of that, but in a more solipsistic way, and maybe in a much less political way, in a stronger social and artistic way, but politically they were not so much attached to the age, other than for issues of AIDS, for example, where, you know, there were strong statements being made in the 90s. There was a question on there, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It could very well be doing this right now, and people who would go to an audience like this, I mean, I know for 20 years.
Yeah. No, that's very true. I mean, that's a very good point. It's just that they also came out of that private... actually, it's interesting, because maybe they wouldn't have, had it not been that even those private performances that they had initially organized had... You know, were stormed in by the police, right? The very first one, the Blood Organ, which was again also an intervention, a written, you know, they sort of state a series of statements, but it was also the very first performance in 1962 in the cellar, right? They could not finish performing it because the police immediately came in and sort of had to check what's being slaughtered here. Right? What animals, you know, there were rumors of passersby, people speaking and say, what's going on in that cellar, right? So there's that element of the private public. They were kind of forced out because of the constant intervention into the private of the state, right? So the boundary was shaking.
Very well, but if you take the other generation,
right.
The 90s, which I also mean, like Marina and all the other things, they're really stars, and they show up.
That's true.
It is a big difference, and it's part of the corruption of their world at the moment they are working to be possible to sell photographs of this performance.
Yeah.
And I think it's very important, the reason why we show it here, Nietzsche and also Gunther, is because we believe, I'm talking about Sloth now, that we don't want to have artists entertained anymore.
Right.
And this is what happened. And it's not only this country, it's happening also in Paris. And it is something which I really, you say very clearly, these artists were really, really playing in a small group for themselves. Marina is an extraordinary
Yeah.
Each one is, yeah. Last time go to separate way, and they make it a movie of that. I think this is repulsive.
Mm.
I really believe this is to take the performance to a level of really commercial and
commodified
and all this paraphernalia that we are seeing today. But some of the American artists, like this world, I think they were really authentic.
Yeah. No, I think there are big differences that, you know, need to be stressed. Orlan is another interesting case.
I think there's two things. One is the banal concept of the event and the non-event. I mean, even now, the Sunday Inquirer reaches 600,000 people.
Yeah.
They're 30 in the room. Whether the Inquirer recovers it or not is always an issue in this kind of discussions. Who, beside us, will hear this?
Mm.
And I think the thing that's interesting to me about this discussion is it was probably 20 years before most people in this room were born.
Right.
And we're still discussing this as a vivid sort of point of reference in the matrix between politics and art.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, I'm very interested in the difficulties of engaging the leadership in this country now on the aggression of the war.
Mm-hmm.
And I was astonished to see a week ago that there will be a full-fledged commercial film coming out from Hollywood, which is a story, which is the assassination of the sitting American president. So we will now see the only acts that I can see that are going to be vivid and absolutely violent will be, in about 6 months, a film will come out with full color and set designers and, you know, five different producers and all the rest of it. But the story is the murder of an American president while he is in office.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is a kind of our version. It has come to the point where, in the most ironic, imaginable way, the most violent possible expression of our anger about what might be going on in our leadership is a commercial film, which is about the assassination of the president. The producer said he doesn't think there's any problem with it because he can't imagine anybody taking it seriously.
Right.
You know, that's the form in which we express, you know, our anger. This is totally dumbfounding in terms of referencing how these people, you know, struggle to maintain their point in public by being arrested and doing all the things that they did.
Yeah.
So I want to close there. I missed my cue before to introduce Jujilian, so I'm going to just thank her for the general.
That's fine.
But
thank you.
Her.
Thank you for coming and listening.
Introduce her now.
At the end.
And of course, you're invited to keep talking. Osvaldo, who's right around the corner from time before, Osvaldo curated this exhibition as well as the Hermenich exhibition, so he's here to engage with as well. If you liked what you saw tonight, there's a concert tomorrow featuring three Chinese musicians from flying in.
The reason why Gunther is not here because he's very
sick. He's sick,
And he's already a few years sick, and we were not sure if he can come. And
that's too bad.
Eventually, what we do normally try to bring the artists here to Philadelphia and introduce them to the students and university and Europe. We try to do the opposite of some institutions in the University of Pennsylvania, who try to keep the artists without mixing with the public.
The exhibition's up to the end of December, so bring back your friends and your colleagues. There's quite a few events. You can go to the website for more information. So thanks again, Cecilia.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate it. Thank you.